talk to you today a little bit about how God works. I want to talk to you, and the title of the message today, and I'm going to ask you young people to help me. The title of the message today is that wood and water work wonders. Wood, like this pew, wood and water work wonders. Can you say that? Wood. You see, it's interesting when we look at the Bible that God consistently uses water to point to his saving love, but he doesn't just use water alone. Very consistently, church, the Lord uses not just water, but wood and water. Now, some of you may know where I'm going with this, but if you don't, just hang in there with me now. And it's leading somewhere. It's leading somewhere very important. But I want to examine with you some of the passages in the Bible where the Lord calls us to wade into some troubled waters, but he doesn't send us there alone. He sends us there with wood and water. Now let me explain. Let's begin to look at some of the scriptural text. You know, in the Bible, well, you heard a song just now being played, and it was a popular song back in the 60s about a bridge over troubled waters. And that's a nice thing to have, a bridge over troubled waters. I think we all like that idea, amen? But in the end, I got news for you. The Bible and the scripture and the old spirituals give us a little bit of a different advice. You know that old spiritual, and I hope you young people do know it. It goes like this. It says, wade in the water, children, because God's going to trouble the water. It doesn't say, go find a bridge. It doesn't say, try to walk around it. It says, go through it. Go through the wade into those troubled waters. You see, brothers and sisters, sometimes we want to avoid the difficult things in life, don't we? But the Lord says, I want you to trust me that you and me together are going to get through these troubled waters. Anyone ever have the Lord get you through some troubled waters? And you can testify that you could have gone around, or you could have turned around and gone back, or tried to find a bridge, but in the end, you went through those waters and you're better for it. Sometimes the troubled waters of life lead us to understand that we were stronger than we ever knew. Sometimes the troubled waters of life, one door closes, but another one opens. Sometimes in the troubled waters, we've learned to trust God more. But there's a role, there's a place in life for troubled waters, and we can run from it. But the Lord says, no, come on, children, wade in the water, children. I'm going to trouble the waters. But brothers and sisters, I want you to know that in the Bible, every time there's troubled waters, there's a blessing on the other side. There's a blessing. And we're going to look at some texts now that remind us that God does sometimes call us to go through troubled waters, but we don't go alone. The Lord goes with us and he rescues us. And it's very interesting that he almost always rescues us from these troubled waters through, of all things, wood. Wood. All right, let's look at some of these texts now. The first one I want you to think about with me is this. God had made everything beautiful, and Adam and Eve, though they sinned and they turned away from God, and they had to live outside of paradise, and the whole world began to fall apart. And the world got worse and worse, and the world got so sinful and so bad. You think it's bad today, but the world got so sinful and so bad that God said, I just have to wash the whole thing clean. And so he said, he found someone named Noah. And Noah was trying to live a righteous life, and God said, Noah, I'm going to rescue you and your family, because I got news for you. There's some troubled waters coming. There are troubled waters. And here's how you're going to get through this, Noah. Now pay attention, Noah, and pay attention, children. Because here we go. What did God tell Noah to do? You know the story, Noah, yeah.
Build an ark.
And what was the ark built of?
Wood.
Noah, go down there and cut down some gopher wood trees and start building an ark. And listen, there was a lot of wood here. This ark was 150 yards long. That's a football field and a half. It was 75 feet wide and 45 feet tall. That's some serious wood there, isn't it? Amen? And the Lord said, listen, Noah, some troubled waters are coming. But guess what? Wood and water are going to work wonders. Can you say that now? Wood and water work wonders. The world's gotten wicked, and we're going to wash the world clean. And on the other side of these troubled waters, there's a world that's going to be better. In the baptismal rite, we talk about how in the flood waters, God made an end of sin and a new beginning for goodness. Praise the Lord. Amen. So there's troubled waters to go through, but on the other side, there's something better. Amen. And God says it's going to be wood and the water that'll get you through. But I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. Go with me now to the Red Sea. Now, you all know the story. Hopefully, most of you young people know the story of the people in Israel, or the Israelites, I should say, and they were in Egypt, and they were slaves for 400 years. God said, I've had enough of that. I'm going to bring my people out. And Pharaoh said, you're not going anywhere. And God said, oh, yes, they are. And finally, Pharaoh relented and let him go. And they're moving out and they're getting ready to leave Egypt, and Pharaoh changes his mind. Pharaoh is fickle and he changes his mind. And he's pursuing them. And they got water in front of them, the Red Sea, and they got Pharaoh behind them. But brothers and sisters, God's going to tell those people, I want you to wade into those troubled waters. Don't be afraid of those waters. Don't be afraid. Because we don't just have water here, we've got wood. And here's how it goes. He said, Moses, take that wooden staff in your hand. Take the wooden staff and extend your hands. And I'm going to part those waters. And those people are going to go through that water. I'm going to trouble those waters, Moses. I'm going to just take that wooden staff, extend your hand, and I'm going to trouble those waters. And they're going to part. And the people will go through. You tell those people not to be afraid. Tell them to wade in those waters. I'm parting those waters, and it's going to be fine. And guess what? When you wade in the waters, there's good things on the other side. Amen? And so God, with wood and water, brought them out of slavery and into freedom. He brought them out of bondage into freedom. Amen? So there's troubled waters, but guess what's on the other side of troubled waters? Freedom and good things. Amen? And how does God do it? Say it with me again. Wood and water work wonders. So are you starting to see a pattern here? There's troubled waters, but there's not just troubled waters. There's wood. Now, I'm going somewhere with this, but I'm not done yet. Go with me now. We're in the desert. And what's one of the biggest problems in the desert? You don't have any water. That's right. Whoa. And so they get out there, and they finally come to a spring. And they named it Marah. Because guess what? They say, finally, water. And they tasted it. Oh, it was foul. It was brackish, full of salt and minerals. They couldn't drink it. Oh, God, we finally found water. And we can't drink it. We're going to die. And they started to grumble, complain. Moses, you brought us out here in this desert to die. And God said, all right. Moses said to God, God, help me, God. And God said, Moses, that's all right. These are troubled waters. Can't drink them. But that's all right, Moses. I'm going to trouble these waters, and here's how I want you to fix the problem. Moses, I want you to go over there and cut down a cypress tree. And I want you to throw it in the, I want you to throw it into the spring. And I promise you, wood and water are going to work wonders. And you know what he did? He cut the tree down. And the Bible says, in the book of Genesis, or in the book of Exodus, that he threw that tree into that spring. And guess what? The water became sweet. The water became like vitamin water. The water was good water, and they could drink it. Hallelujah, church. Amen? You see, they were thirsty, but God said, don't worry. Tell the people to wade in these waters. Don't be afraid to drink this water, because I'm going to take the wood of the cypress tree, and I'm going to sweeten those waters. And there is life on the other side. Amen? Because guess what? Wood and water work wonders. But I'm not done yet. They went a little further in the desert. They came to another place. Again, no more water. And you'd think by now they would learn that God's going to take care of them. But you know what? They complained. Anyone been blessed by God? And then still you complained? And still you were afraid? Well, these people, God's been taking good care of them, but they're afraid now. They're out of water again, and they're afraid. And God said, Moses, tell those people not to be afraid. Tell those people I'm going to trouble some water for them. By now, we've learned that troubled waters bring blessing. Amen? Now, Moses, take that wooden staff. Here we go again. It's wood again, isn't it? Take that wooden staff and go there and stand in front of the people and strike the rock, and water will come forth. Hallelujah. And guess what? He took the wooden staff in his hand, and he went and he struck the rock. Water came gushing out. More than enough water for the people. Troubled waters do what? They bring what? Blessings. Because wood and water work wonders. But I'm not done yet. By the way, St. Paul says that that rock that they drank from followed them in the desert. And St. Paul says the rock was Christ. Because Jesus is a rock in a weary land. He's a shelter in a time of storm. I said, I'm not done yet. We got another thing to look at. After 40 years in the desert, it came time for them finally to enter into the promised land. And they get there, and they're just opposite Jericho and the Jordan River. That's just a little. Some of us were in the Jordan River recently, amen? That's not a wide river. That's more of a creek than a river. But guess what? It was flood season. It was flood season. You know, when we were in Israel, we had to alter our plans because they'd had some heavy rains. And you can't get anywhere near part of the Jordan River when it's, because the flood waters will just, they'll wipe you out. They'll kill you. You cannot cross the Jordan River in flood season. No, indeed. So the people said, there's the promised land, but we can't get there. 40 years. And we finally come to the point where we can enter it, and we can't get across. How many of you know God's got this figured out? And how do you think he's going to work it out? Through what? He's going to work some wonders with wood and water. And so he said, Moses, or this case, Joshua now. Joshua, tell those priests to take the Ark of the Covenant and put it up on their shoulders. Now, the Ark of the Covenant was a box, and it was made out of acacia wood. Did you hear what I just said? It's made out of what? Wood. Imagine that. And it's covered with gold. Now, inside the box were the tables of the law, Ten Commandments. There was a ciborium of manna, the bread that fed them. Just kind of like our ark up there, isn't it? See our tabernacle? And we have ciboriums in there of the bread of life, Jesus. And also the staff of Aaron. That box was made of wood, but it carried the presence of God. And he said, here it is, Moses, or Joshua, here it is. tell those priests to take the ark up onto their shoulders, that wooden ark. And as soon as the feet of the priest touch those troubled waters, I'm going to trouble them even more. And sure enough, the waters parted. And they welled, they went upstream like a wall, and they stayed away. And the people walked right across the Jordan River, and they didn't even get their toes wet. Are you praying with me? Have you noticed a pattern? That wood and water work wonders. It's not just the water. God says, look, go through those troubled waters. Do not be afraid of troubled waters. Because I've got the wood, and I've got the will, and I'm going to lead you through those troubled waters. And I promise you, there's a blessing on the other side. And so the waters parted, they went through, and they entered into the promised land, out of a desert, into a land flowing with milk and honey. But I'm not done yet. Because now we're about to enter into the New Testament. But remember now, we've learned this pattern. There are troubled waters in life. Let's just say that you were in a raging stream and you were floating down and you were in these troubled waters. What would happen if a log came floating by? Would that be good news? You grab onto that log and hold on to it. Amen? It's kind of like God sending some that wood to rescue us. Now, I want you to follow with me now to the feast for today. We're going to wrap this up and be done in a couple moments here. But I want you to pay attention now because we're coming to the high point of the message. And I want you to pay close attention. Jesus today goes into the Jordan River. He wades into the water. But here's something important to pay attention to. The baptism of John the Baptist could not save. It could not forgive sin. The baptism of John the Baptist could point to salvation. It could point to us getting rid of our sins, but it couldn't accomplish it. Why? No wood. No wood. But Jesus, and by the way, Jesus got baptized, and I put it for you in the bulletin to reflect on, brothers and sisters. There's a lot of speculation about why would Jesus? Jesus had no sin, amen? Somebody say amen. But he accepts baptism, and I want to say to you that one of the reasons that Jesus accepts baptism is that he identifies himself with sinners. He was counted among the wicked. He was not wicked, but he was a friend of sinners. I don't know about you, I'm mighty glad. And Jesus is not ashamed to call us his brethren. I would be. But he's not ashamed. He identifies himself with sinners. He wades into the water. He gets into trouble with us. He's counted among the wicked, among sinners, although he was not. But John's baptism could not accomplish salvation. It could not bring the effects that it announced. Why? No wood. But now, follow with me. I want you to look up here. Jesus did point to a baptism that could save us. And after he came out of those waters, he began his public ministry. Eventually, Jesus went to that old rugged cross. Someone say, old rugged cross. And what's the cross made out of? And Jesus got nailed to the wood of that cross. Nailed. Oh, we've got the wood now in place, but where's the water? Where's the water? Brothers and sisters, the Bible says that Jesus died on that old wooden rugged cross. But they wanted to make sure he was dead. I said they wanted to make sure he was dead. And so one of the soldiers took a spear and thrust it into his side. And there came out blood and are some dots starting to connect? I hope our young people, I know this is, but follow with me. Our baptism John the Baptist's baptism couldn't help us, but Jesus' baptism can. Why? Because there's wood. I said the wood of the cross, and there's water flowing from the side of Jesus. Hallelujah. And guess what? Let's say it now with real conviction, like we know it and we mean it. Wood and water work wonders. Oh, the troubled waters of Jesus. See, what happens is when people have great trauma, fluid builds up around the heart and in the lungs. And the way Jesus died was that his lungs and his heart filled up with fluid and he breathed his last. That's how you die in crucifixion. You actually asphyxiate. You die because you can't breathe anymore. And when you stop breathing well, all the fluid starts to build up in the lungs and around the heart. So Jesus had some troubled waters in here, didn't he, church? Amen? Jesus had some troubled waters right up here in his chest. And when they heaved his chest open with that spear, out came the water. And wood and water brought us salvation. Someone say, praise the Lord. See how God works? There's troubled water in life. But God has a plan that through wood and water, he's going to work wonders. All through the Old Testament, they kept pointing to baptism, kept pointing to what we're celebrating today, that one day the baptismal waters that flowed from the side of Jesus would bring us salvation, that wood and water would work wonders. Over and over again in the Old Testament, God showed how through wood and water he could save his people. And this is the real salvation. Right here, wood and water, Jesus, his baptism. And those waters from his side found their way into the baptismal font where you all were baptized. How did they find their way there? Well, there was a crazy-looking guy like me or someone else called a priest. And the priest prayed a blessing. And Jesus took some of that water from his side and put it in the water where you were baptized. Hallelujah. So the wood of the cross reaches the baptismal font where you were baptized. And that water flowing from Jesus' side, in the wood where he died on that cross, reached you and saved you. Can you say hallelujah? That wasn't very enthusiastic. Hallelujah. Are you glad you're saved?
Praise God.
Are you glad that the wood and the water work wonders for you? One final thought. This water does something very unusual. This water starts a fire. I said it starts a fire. Have you ever known water to start a fire? We use water to put out fire, don't we? But this water starts a fire. Did you hear what John the Baptist said? I'm baptizing you with plain old water. No wood. But there's someone coming after me. I'm so unworthy, I can't even be worthy enough to untie his sandal straps. But he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Anyone had the fire of the Holy Ghost? You see, the Lord, the baptism that we receive doesn't just wash away our sins. It also starts a fire in us. The Holy Spirit at our baptism comes to live in us like a temple. And remember when the Holy Spirit came on the apostles for the first time, he came like tongues of fire. And he set them on fire. Just like he set your pastor on fire. And I've got God's word shut up in my bones like fire. And I can't stop preaching and telling you about the Lord and that the Lord's been good. Because I got a fire. I got a fire inside. And the Lord, through this water, started a fire in you. And I know how it is to be young, like, especially when you're this age over here with some of these older ones. I got to keep my cool. I got to look like I'm unimpressed. I know a few things. All right. Please, I'm just kidding with you. But I hope somewhere deep down inside, you know that you got a fire inside. Because the Holy Spirit, through wood and water, God has worked the wonder of washing away your sins and saving you. But he's also put his Holy Ghost power in you. He lit a fire in you, and the Holy Spirit's living in you like a temple. And somewhere inside, I hope as you grow and you become less inhibited, you can start jumping up and down and saying, I got to tell somebody about Jesus. You can start saying, you know, like old Jeremiah the prophet. Jeremiah the prophet said, it's just like fire shut up in my bones. I can't not speak. Because I'm on fire with love for God and love for my neighbor. So brothers and sisters, wood and water work wonders. And the waters of baptism are a strange water indeed, because they start a fire. Praise the Lord. They wash away sins and they start a fire. So today, one final time, just say it with me. Wood and water work wonders. Amen.